then introduce yourself with whatever it is that you want folks to know about you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Eve Saint, and I am a Wet'suwet'en water protector who is based out of Toronto, Canada. My father is Wet'suwet'en, and that's how I'm connected to the camp out west in Northern British Columbia. And so just this past December, I was able to go to the camp and introduce myself. Because I was raised in Toronto, I don't know my father's people, the community, too well. So when this started heating up, I really had a strong urge to go and help my father's people, because activism is a big part of my life. The nation is Wet'suwet'en, so that's the indigenous people. W as in watermelon, E as in elephant, T as in truck, apostrophe, S as in sauce, U as in umbrella, W as in watermelon, apostrophe, E as in elephant, T as in truck, apostrophe, E as in elephant, N as in Nile. Wet'suwet'en. The camp that got raided is called Gidimden. G as in giant, I-T-E-M, Gidimden. Because there's two camps. There's Unist'ot'en, Unist'ot'en was like a reoccupation of using the territory. So the Wet'suwet'en used the territory and they built a healing center and they have like all these cultural camps. So that was like the main reoccupation.
So why don't you go ahead and tell the story of what is happening there and has been happening actually for a very long time. And, you know, what is it that you want people to know about the camp and about the recent government invasion?
When Coastal GasLink went to court for an injunction through the British Columbia Supreme Court, that's when the court granted Coastal GasLink an interim injunction. And so Gidimden, because there's different territories. So there's Gidimden is Grizzly Bear Clan of the Wet'suwet'en. And so they decided to put up an access checkpoint on their territory in solidarity of the healing center to protect the land and the people at the healing center. The camp that was raided a few days ago where 14 people got arrested. Being far away from my father's community, and I never was raised in that community. I was raised in Toronto. So I just 10 years ago got connected to my father, and actually just this year I just actually started learning about the culture of the Wet'suwet'en, and also learning about the territory, going on the territory in and around Northern British Columbia. And so how I got involved, when things started heating up in December, going to visit and meeting some of the Wet'suwet'en people, I've got to learn like many things about the culture and also about myself too as well. So being over there was really important to me, and it was especially hard for me to see the RCMP raid the camp because I had spent a great amount of time, or maybe not a great amount of time, but I spent some quality time with some of these people at the camp. Like the elder, there's an elder, one of the 14 who got arrested was a 70-year-old woman, and she has a heart condition. Her name's Carmen Nickel. And I mean, it was just so hard to see her speak about her getting arrested, the RCMP, going through the gate, and I'm not too sure if anybody's seen like the video or any of the footage, but this is what Indigenous people face here in Canada, especially with industry wanting to force their way in, So the Wet'suwet'en Nation is currently going through a battle with TransCanada, aka a Coastal GasLink, and they want to put a natural gas pipeline through their territory. And so collectively, the five hereditary chiefs of the Wet'suwet'en clans collectively denied access or said no access onto the territory. So here's where people get confused, because we have hereditary chiefs, and then also there's chiefs and band councils of the reservation. So there were other other reserves and bands that signed on, yes, to the to Coastal GasLink pipeline, but the hereditary chiefs in the Wet'suwet'en, they hold the highest say over the territory. So that's the difference, having their law on the territory as opposed to the band council on the reserve. Like the chief and council have say on the reserve and so on and so forth. So collectively, these five hereditary chiefs said no to any pipeline going through. And so anyway, there was a reoccupation camp called Unist'ot'en, who's been there. This reoccupation has been up for since 2010. And so they built a healing center. They have like cabins up there. So they use this territory to bring healing to the people. People come and when they're trying to look at their addictions or their mental health, and also like just being on the land for Indigenous people, like that's healing enough. And they also have like culture camps and fish camps. They go hunting, they go medicine picking, berry picking. Like they live off the land and they have a connection. And so this territory is so beautiful, and it's so untouched by industry. And so just to see and have, or I mean, just even the thought of having a natural pipeline go through and pollute the waters, like you can actually drink right out of the water. I mean, the river, sorry. Yes. And it's still so beautiful. It's from the mountains. And so I can see why Gidim Ben, when Coastal GasLink got their interim injunction for preliminary work, because the Unist'ot'en is on the route of the pipeline. So that's why Coastal GasLink wanted to get through. And so Gidim Ben clan, they stood up and they put up an access point check. They controlled access, coming, who's coming in and out of the territory. And it goes like a kind of the only access and exit into like their territory, Wet'suwet'en territory, like one of the territories. So then Coastal GasLink went back to the British Columbia Supreme Court to include Gidim Den checkpoint into their interim injunction, and was granted that. And so this was back December 21st, because that's the day that I actually arrived at camp. And so I heard news that they granted this they got the injunction, interim injunction for Gidim Den camp. And I remember being on my way there and having like this urgency, like, oh my God, like the RCMP can come within the hour, because that's when it was going to like, be effective. And, just remembering just like this great anxiety and sadness and worry and everything, just all these emotions mixed into one, trying to get to camp and not knowing what to expect. The reserve is a colonial, like, it's a colonial idea. That's not your home. Your territory is your home. And so being out there on that territory, like, I was just, it's like I got a breath of new life. I'm helping organize and talk on this end in Toronto. The violence that they encountered with RCMP, like if you see some of those videos, they have like assault rifles. This is just an example and just for show on how Canada treats its Indigenous people, how industry just goes in and takes and kills and poisons and just does not care. You know, like especially with Canadian justice system or the law enforcement, like this is exactly a perfect example on how they view us, on how they treat us. It's not right. There's two gates. So there's Gidimden Access Point and then there's Unistoten. And so the next day after the raid of Gidimden, the RCMP was going to go to Unistoten. And so Unistoten, they have that healing center and they have four community members there as clients getting treatment. And so the hereditary chiefs really had to look at that and look at everyone's safety because they saw what happened at Gidimden camp and the violence that those people experienced. And was like, okay, we can't let that happen. And so they worked out something where it's like, okay, like you can access the territory, but like we still do not agree. We still do not, you know, like give up because they still have a court date coming up January 31st. And from what I believe and from what I got, from some of the people was that the January 31st is for the people to provide more evidence or not evidence, but some more information to get to kind of appeal the injunction, the interim injunction or work being done. So, I mean, it's a provincial court, which will probably move to federal.
Is there anything else that you want to add that you want folks to know about what's going on there?
Keep on watching or like the Facebook pages, pay attention to what's going on, and just know that this is how the government treats Indigenous people and continues. And we're not standing for it any longer. And we're trying to fight climate change here too. We're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about the future generations and the state of the world, as the state of the earth, and every living thing that's on here.
Eve, do you think, I know a lot of people in the U.S. were really enamored with Justin Trudeau when he was first elected. And like, do you think that this is different from anything that's been happening earlier in the time that he's been in office, or is this just the one that's getting the publicity?
He hasn't really honored any Indigenous promises for like Indigenous rights, land sovereignty. He promised like clean water for reserves up here, and he hasn't delivered. And all he does is cry. Like all he does, he has these crocodile tears that he just uses. He's an actor. He was an actor before. So he just, any issues with Indigenous people, he has to make a talk about, like he'll just use these tears. And it's like, come on now. Like
it's all variations on the theme of colonialism at this point, it seems like. Well, you managed to answer all of my questions without me having to ask them. That was brilliant.
I'm sorry, I was a little bit of a rough beginning.